WHPC HD Garden City, New York, 90.3 WHPC. We'll be back in a minute.
Voice of Nassau Community.
All right.
This program is brought to you by Nassau Community College. Attention nursing school candidates. Does your nursing program require a TEAS exam for admission? Take your exam at Nassau Community College. We're open to all candidates. New exam dates are available at ATITesting.com. Register today. Seats fill quickly. Additional dates will be added for the fall. The TEAS exam is a requirement for both the nursing and radiation therapy program at Nassau Community College. If you're looking to refresh your skills before the TEAS, find out about review classes offered through the Continuing Education Department at Nassau Community College. For more information, you may call 516-572-7472 or visit ncc.edu.
This show is brought to you by Jersey Mike's Subs, with two locations in Uniondale and Carl Place, both within a 5-minute drive of Nassau Community College, and also available with Uber Eats. Jersey Mike's is a sub shop where every slice, every sandwich, and every store provides sustenance and substance. Produce is sliced daily in-house. Bread is baked daily in-house. And the 100% Angus beef roast beef is cooked in-store. Experience the sub difference at Jersey Mike's in Uniondale and Carl Place.
Okay.
Yo.
Tell your friends about the Nassau Morning Madhouse.
Check it out.
Check it out. Has that ever happened to you? It's like, wow, everything happens for a reason. Amanda, I feel like that's happened to you a lot.
We were about to miss our plane. We got a flat tire, and this man comes out of nowhere. He's like, I can change the tire for you. I've got tools with me, and I've got a donut. And and then we were able to get our plane, and he just came out of nowhere.
You only said yes because he had food. I'm guaranteeing you that. You only said yes because he had a donut. Right.
No, he didn't have any food. He just showed up.
Eric, that's the least manly thing I've ever heard.
What?
You don't know what a donut is for your car?
I misheard.
Yeah, like a donut is gonna fix the flat tire to get me to an airport.
You gotta understand, it is 7:13 in the morning. I'm hungry.
Nassau Morning Madhouse. Weekday mornings from 7 to 9. Yeah. On the voice of Nassau Community College.
90.3 WHPC.
Yeah. Want more sports? We have more sports.
Let's get it.
Catch WHPC Sports Talk all week to get your sports fix.
Break it down.
Monday mornings at 9. Monday afternoons at 5. Tuesday afternoons at 5. Thursday nights at 9. And Friday afternoons at 3.
Come and get some of this.
WHPC Sports Talk. Exclusively on the voice of Nassau Community College. 90.3 WHPC.
Let's go!
60 different types of programming.
There's truly something for everyone right here.
FM.
HD.
Amazon Echo.
Google Home.
The TuneIn Radio app.
The iHeartRadio app.
And nccradio.org.
The voice of Nassau Community College.
This is the award-winning 90.3 WHPC.
WHPC HD Garden City.
On the air, everywhere.
Everywhere.
All right, and we are everywhere. Not everywhere. We're in Malba in Whitestone. Ray Guarino, Joe D. We're here at the Malba Car Show at the base of the Whitestone Bridge. And we were talking with Mr. Marty Shaw. We actually have a couple of other guests lined up.
Yeah, we have to find them. We have to go wipe them off, though.
I was just talking to Gary, the local brush, who's standing right behind you. Of course, the noted pinstriper.
Yeah.
And
we've got a few people showed up today. We've got some hardy souls.
Absolutely.
There are cars out here. You can hear the, I don't know if you can hear the music in the background, but it's a regular car show. It's
right.
a little damper than usual, but don't let that stop you.
We are in hour two of our live broadcast, which is a first for us, Joe.
Yes. Well, and, we've broken the barrier.
Yeah, it's not going to be a problem. We're not called Motor Mouths for nothing, you know. we didn't get this title just for for any other reason, but...
Where did you find that extension cord to go all the way from the station to here?
Well, we know some electrical guys, so we're able to do... We're well-versed in splices and all that cool stuff, so... You go over poles, you go around corners, you know how to do that.
Hopefully you don't trip over it in the Cross Island too
much. Like Ferris Bueller, go through the backyard, jump over the pool, grab a Twinkie, you know.
Yeah, that's it.
So it's all good.
And we have to thank Sean for running the board.
Yes, for putting this together for us, right?
Because
he troopered, came out here in the rain, and he's sitting here right across from us taking care of our...
He has proven his mettle as a as a top-notch supporter of Motormouth.
Right. Yes, he is a great PD. We appreciate having him with us. And you can call us at 516-572-7440. Check us on the web, motormouthradio.com. Follow us on Twitter, which is Motormouth Radio, or Joe's favorite Instagram, which is
Real Motormouth.
No real, underscore.
Yeah, I know.
Motormouth Radio.
I have a mental block.
I know you do. That's right. We'll figure it out one of these days.
Well, they call me blockhead sometimes.
But yeah, you can check out all the festivities and whatnot. We try to keep that stuff kind of current. You know, both of us, we really have our hands in things a lot where we don't have time and the ability to. We need to grow another arm to kind of use a camera.
Yeah, I've been trying the cloning process, but you really don't want to see what came out so far.
I know, it doesn't always work so well.
Because you know, I'd like a mini-me to like be able to run the camera and stuff. I'd like to do some. I'd like to do some repair videos and stuff because some of the war stories that you know you've come across them.
Oh, yeah.
I definitely come across them. You know what I mean? Like we started off yesterday before we started talking about it. I actually had to come across a Sandy car.
Oh, how'd that work out? Many years later, that's kind of...
Yeah, well, it came back. Well, this thing was like a 2004 Infiniti.
Mm-hmm.
And the customer said, well, the fuel pump doesn't run. And after doing some checking and sitting there with a wiring diagram in the meter, I found that it's like, okay, it's somewhere under the back seat because that's where Nissan / Infiniti keeps their fuel pump. And sure enough, the wiring, somebody had either taped it or had done some type of repair to it, but the repair was not well sealed.
Okay.
And what happened is that all the copper turned to this lovely green color.
Oh, yeah.
Which was not very good for conducting electricity.
It's like a schming.
Yeah, schming.
When I was taking apart, on the Monte Carlo, when I was taking apart connections to move harnesses.
Right.
So that I could get at stuff, mm-hmm. as well as on that 69 Mach 1 from a few weeks ago, the same thing. A lot of green, that green oxide, and that's what happens with copper as it oxidizes.
Actually, I found that on YouTube. Some of the diagnostic guys that I follow on YouTube, like, say, South Main Auto Repair or Scandadana, they've actually named that stuff the Green Crusties.
Oh, the Green Crusties,
The Green Crusties. And we found the Green Crusties. It was like, hey, wait a minute, this isn't going to conduct power, so...
I found it also when I was switching over the ignition wires between the wire terminals inside the cap, the distributor mm-hmm. cap, which is a common place. We've all seen it there.
Oh, yes.
Lots of greenness, so...
Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
I found
they get cooked or whatever. There's a little bit of what they call micro-arcing, too.
Yes.
Which does wonders for the smoothness of the terminal, the contact points, and so forth.
People come to know that in the electronics world on circuit boards, because you mm-hmm. actually get fretting.
Yeah.
Unlike, now, we're not talking about the guitar world here.
I was going to say, what is it? What octave is it?
Yeah, we're not talking about guitar world. Where actually there's little fingers, little fingers of conductive material that jump from one land on a circuit board to the next. That's the fretting part, and that causes a jump in circuit flow, and which is we call a short.
Yeah,
you know, if it gets bad enough, it's a short.
Poor contact. You know, GM had a bulletin about that on fuel injectors years back, where they told you just take the thing off, just kind of wipe it down, put some dielectrically, slam the thing back on, and voila, you really didn't have to change nothing.
Right.
I mean, a lot of times in troubleshooting, I'll just disconnect something, spray some cleaner in there, just kind of eyeball, give it a little kiss, you know, put it back together.
Yeah.
Voila, car's fixed.
You know, you preach that all the time, and I tell people as well, keep it simple, start with the easy things,
yes.
take it apart,
go
assess
with the basics.
It, look at it,
mm-hmm.
and like you said, clean it. There's a lot of good contact cleaners on the market, and you can
CRC, deoxid. Yeah.
Deoxid I like, it's a two-part. There's a cleaner and then a coating mm-hmm. that kind of keeps future corrosion out.
Stable in 22.
Yeah.
That stuff's like $9 million a little bottle, but that stuff's great.
Right, right.
Fix a couple Jeeps like that that have funky instrument clusters.
But now, especially a car, like you said, that was a Sandy victim.
It was Sandified, yes.
You know, I mean, that stuff, salt water is the absolute worst. You know, fresh water is, you know...
It's bad enough.
Let's put it this way. You flush a saltwater car with fresh water, and you feel lucky.
And you know, a saltwater car, you just flush down the toilet.
Yeah,
no, because this thing here, it didn't look bad at all. But once I started having to, like, go through the harnesses and whatnot, I started seeing that little watermark behind the trim. In other words, the stuff that they didn't take apart. Like, the car to look at... seemed very clean.
Mm-hmm.
But then once you started taking stuff out of the way to like get at the various harnesses and connections, you could see that this thing spent some time in submarine land there.
Right, right.
But, so they're still out there, folks. So watch it.
Yeah, and especially, you know, people out of state need to watch out because those cars tend to get sold by the truck full out of state.
Exactly. So that way the titles get washed and so forth. So, yeah, you want to try to find as much as you can
exactly.
about the history of the vehicle. I mean, you know, whether it's Carfax or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. You want to see if, you know, if it's a local car. Like, I always love cars with pedigrees. You know what I mean? I will, you know, people ask me about certain cars. And I'll say, like, where did it come from? What, you know, where, you know, is it, was it a local person? I, you know, my favorite is like, well, the woman, you know, the old woman passed away, and now her son is selling the car because he doesn't want, you know, that's the kind of stuff. I always say, rich people and dead people are the two best people to buy cars from.
I was
going to
say, Dougie seems to be the master finding those vehicles.
Yeah, he's like, humble. You know, it's incredible. That Nova that you heard,
what's
Mrs.
now, what's,
Donfoy?
Tell me about, you know, you mentioned that it's got fuel issues, and I'm curious, because when Doug called the other, a couple weeks ago, and he touched on that very lightly. It was like a touch and go, and I wanted to find out more about that. What was
took the car out for a bit of a danger drive. Actually, he did.
Right.
And it crapped out. And so I wasn't there at the garage at that particular point. So Johnny went and got him, got the car back. Car sat there for a couple days, started up.
Okay.
Didn't run so hot, but it started up and ran. And at that point, we were, you know, the carburetor bowl was empty.
Okay.
So we're like, okay, where's the fuel not coming from? So we were thinking fuel pump.
Right.
And then, see, this is where the history of the car becomes vague, because this car had passed through a couple owners on its way to Doug. And basically, I think the car was sitting for a while. So we might have some kind of schming
uh-huh.
or schmang inside the fuel system that needs to be cleaned out.
Mm-hmm.
But that's one of our next things to do, is to actually get the car to act up.
Yeah.
And see where the fuel supply drops out. You know what I mean?
I got a call yesterday from our good friend Vic, who asked me about a Rochester 2GC, which is a standard.
I was going to say, yeah, we chatted about that a little bit. Yeah, right. How'd you make out with that now?
Well, what happened was the car, it's a tri-power setup now. I'm thinking Pontiac, but it ended up being on a 348 Chevy, which is mm-hmm. really kind of cool.
Right.
And they just had the center carburetor working. The problem was the car ran okay, and when they would, it would idle okay. But when they would hit the throttle, they would look and didn't see a good squirt of fuel come down into the Venturi.
Right.
But if the car was shut off and they actuated it, so first thing I thought was, you know, accelerator pump.
Right.
When they shut the car off and worked the throttle, they had a great shot of fuel. I said, okay, that's kind of interesting. So we kind of talked it out a little bit. And I think what the problem is the fuel pump. Vic said they got a pump on there that's like good for 20 PSI.
Right.
Which on a carbureted car, we know, no, you want somewhere between 4 to 7.
4 to 7, yeah, is the typical specification, yeah.
My guess is that it's actually the two high of a pressure is blowing the needle off the seat.
Mm-hmm.
And the fuel isn't being directed where it needs to go. It's just
right.
dumping into the...
But why only the center carburetor?
Well... Okay, well, on a tri-power car, typically that's the way it's set up. You drive off the center carb, and the outer two carburetors are like the secondaries.
Right.
They're progressive. In this case, the owner has the outer two blocked off because he has them on there more for show than anything. You know?
More show. Oh, okay.
So he's really just driving off the two-barrel.
Okay. So that way that's the only one that bears the brunt of the fuel system festivities
so
over there.
We did discuss... options of to put a filter in the car and to put a fuel pressure regulator in the car, and he's going to follow up with that in future shows, because this just happened yesterday. So we'll be in touch with Vic and we'll find out about that.
Yeah,
but
a nice clear, at least for diagnostic purposes, a nice clear gas filter.
Exactly.
At least at some point to see if the fuel's coming up.
Yeah.
If it's maybe like it looks like the head of your favorite brand of beer.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or if it's a nice solid flow. You know that could make the difference between how you're going to attack the problem,
mm-hmm.
for sure.
But, we do have a caller on the line. We have Jim, so let's see what's going
Jim.
On here. We'll go on the phones and say hi.
Hey, you're guys, what's up? Hello.
Wow.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Yeah, Jim, what's going on?
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Well, we're sitting here in Whitestone just doing a show, sitting watching the rain and looking at the beauty of the bridge.
Okay, I have to correct you. Malba is not part of Whitestone. Malba is its own community. At least that's what the rent-a-cops used to say as they were throwing me out.
Well, I don't know. I defer to my co-host here who lived here. So, what do I know?
Well, technically you're right, Jim, but you know what? I mean... Somebody asked me where I'm from, and if I happen to be sitting there in, say, Whitestone Park or over here by the bridge, by the water there, I'm in Whitestone. Because But you're right. Technically, it is its own little kingdom there. Yeah.
Okay.
But
technically, it's not Whitestone Park. It's Francis Lewis Park. Although we all called it Whitestone Park, and Whitestone Park is in Whitestone. As soon as you go that little bit west and go under the approach to the Whitestone Bridge, that's Malibu, and that's where they're waiting for you to give you tickets and stuff.
Ah. Was it because of the regular police? It obviously wasn't the geography police that did that. But, yeah, you're right, though. But either way, the cops, was that Officer Grant or Chuck?
Wow.
Remember Chuck? Which we won't mention the descriptor that we used to put at the end of that rhymes. But,
especially since we're teaming with New York's finest here today, we want to kind of keep it.
We want them to still like us at some point.
Yes.
Well, just salute all the guys from the 109th Precinct for me, please.
Will do.
You got it.
All right, Jim. Thanks for calling.
All right,
thanks for the history lesson.
I did have a question for Marty.
Well, there's our geography lesson for today because I don't know anybody I used to hang out with over here. He used to say, I'm from Whitestone.
What would we do without it? I don't know.
Well, yeah, but that's right. And as far as that goes, I mean, you know, this was definitely part of the Whitestone Cruise circuit. Yeah, because you would go past Francis Lewis / Whitestone Park. You'd come down here right about where we are. You'd hang out, look at the bridge with your favorite significant other over there, and you cruise back out.
Speaking of Franny Lou.
Yes.
There's a movie coming out.
Yes, Cruise.
And we want to know more about it because you were a part of this thing. Your car is a celebrity.
Yeah, my car's in there. No, my car's a Camaro. It's not a celebrity.
Well, right, sorry.
My car has rear-wheel drive.
The right lineage. Tell us about the what that was about. First, let me mention that we are broadcasting live from Malba, and I still think we're in Whitestone.
It's
I don't know when I see the bridge.
It's Whitestone. We're here. We're looking at the Bronx right now. Not the Bronx.
You can give us a call like Jim did at 516-572-7440 and talk to us live about this. We'll get Gary the local brush on here in a few minutes and talk about pinstriping.
Yeah.
But tell us about that movie. What's the name of it? What was the inception?
I don't really have any kind of official inlet to the information, but it was made by a local guy from 19... it was from his time, like, 86, 87. So it's a little bit past where my prime of hanging out. Oh,
hear that?
I hear that. Yeah. That's music, you know? And it's about the, what life was like on the Boulevard. It has a couple of major league actors in there.
Right.
The guy who produced The Wrestler was involved in the project.
Okay.
And there was a number of nights back, it's about a year and a half, 2 years ago, where they were filming, and a lot of the Whitestone Queens car contingent showed up. I mean, it was like a car show at the lot. And, you know, they had us driving around, you know, simulating a typical cruise night back in the day. And there's a couple scenes in there where it involved where they set up drag races and so forth. Oh, there goes the Alco...
The Alco racer, the Black Beast, Howard Koplik. Yes.
Yes, I think the walls are still shaking. That. Wow. And essentially, it sounds pretty cool. I mean, it was kind of funny watching kids that are like my son and my daughter's age dressed up like the way we were.
Yeah.
And it was like, wait a minute, there's something wrong here. Here's us old guys, you know. Jeans and t-shirts and whatever, and they're dressed up in the
Capizios and Nembazzoli jackets.
Yeah. Well, wait. It's not Brooklyn, okay?
That's right. It wasn't Chris.
Sorry, Chris, if you're out there listening.
Yeah.
But it should be pretty interesting. Like I said, there's some major league players in there, and my car shows up in a couple scenes. As a matter of fact, one of them is one of the drag races.
So when is that movie scheduled, or is it scheduled to be released?
It's scheduled to come out in September the 28th.
Okay.
And, I'm not sure exactly the release. I know it's going to be in at least a couple theaters around here, or at least a theater around here.
Right.
And I'm not really sure, so I don't want to give out misinformation, but that's the release date right now. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you're listening out there, guys, from the Cruise movie, but...
Gino? Who's that?
The guy's name was Gino, yes.
Right.
The guy's name was Gino. And he was a local guy from Whitestone. I spoke to him very briefly on one of the shoots there. He was like, hey, is it okay if we use your car? One seems to have a stuntman drive. And I'm like, you never seen me drive, did you?
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's the main guy of the project there. And if you're listening out there, we would love to get our hands on you, especially before the movie comes out, and you can get to talk it up. So
right.
Get in touch with us, you know?
Right. Walking back in with Mr. Marty Shores, Gary, the local brush. I wonder if we can get Gary in this hot seat over here for a minute and sit and talk with us a little bit. This
paint
is a guy,
the picture for us.
He can paint the picture, all right. This is a guy who's well-known all over the place, so we'll hopefully get Gary with us
to
talk a little bit. And in the meantime, you can still call us at 516-572-7440. You can get your thoughts and concerns and all of that good stuff. And as Gary gets all
make
wired
fun of us.
Up, you can do that too, because that's pretty common. And here we are. Gary.
Hey, Gary.
How you doing?
Excellent. Good to see you. Of course, you're a name who's been all over Long Island for quite a long time. Your work is renowned and revered everywhere. And, in fact, that car I was talking about, the Motion Monte Carlo that I worked on yesterday, was striped by Gary. So it was actually touching your work yesterday with a nice
reverence.
Soft rig. Yeah. So, Gary, I mean, how do you encompass the story of, you know, what you've done and what you're doing, and
well,
if you can.
It started off as an artist, strictly as an artist, and it turned out that I love cars.
And
it was just easy to work on a car as a canvas.
Okay.
And that's basically what happened. And as a young guy, I was lucky enough to bounce off of Joel Rosen in a funny way. And that's, you know, the owner of Motion.
Right.
And
what was the funny way? Because we love funny on this show. We want to laugh with you.
Was there wrestling involved?
A little cursing, maybe.
Okay.
I don't know what I could say on the radio.
Yeah, you can't do that.
All right. I had, as a young kid, I had bought my own GTO. 1966 GTO, brand new, $3,000.
Yeah.
I wish I still had the car today.
I've heard that before.
I had it jacked up in the air. I had the lettering on it, have nothing to do with Motion Performance, but it said Instant Motion.
Ah.
Okay, that had nothing to do with Motion. I had seen it in our race car in California, liked the name.
Okay.
Of course, that's what I did as a young kid, lettered everybody's front fenders.
Right. Yeah.
Girls' names on front fenders. And
Destry Rides name, again.
All of it. Yeah sure. So I drive into Motion, and I'm looking for parts, anything to see what he has that I can put on the car.
Uh-huh.
And he looks out the window and he sees, this is Joel, looks out the window and sees my car. And he says, you have to take the name off the car. I said, why? He says, well, I don't sponsor you. So he says, you have to take it off. And then I can't repeat what I said back to him at that point, and I walked out.
Right.
About 6 months later, he's at the racetrack, and he sees a car that I lettered.
Uh-huh.
So he goes over to the owner of the car and asks, who lettered it? And my name is given out. And, of course, Joel doesn't know my name. So he gives me a call, and he says, I'm having an issue with the letterer that I'm using now. I need somebody new to do some lettering.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't hold grudges. I still don't.
Good.
And I went down there, and he doesn't remember the story. But his wife brought it up recently, how we met. So I kind of told her with all the cursing and everything like that. And so I started doing his work. And then he found out that I could do more than just letter.
Right.
So I lettered up. The first car I ever lettered for him was a 1966 Oldsmobile from Mack Markowitz Oldsmobile.
Right.
That was their race car. I did that car. Then I got involved in finishing the Co-Motion race car.
Right.
Which I didn't start lettering. A guy named Wendell did.
Okay.
And Wendell and Joel went their separate ways, and mm-hmm. so I had to finish that car.
Mm-hmm.
So both of our names are on there.
Mm-hmm.
And I started getting more involved in customizing cars. And Joel found out that I could, you know, start flaring wheel wells. And mm-hmm. I opened up my own shop, mm-hmm. and it was called Ultra Automation. It was over in Hicksville. Mm-hmm. And Joel brought me brand new Corvettes. And nice. I used to cut them right up.
Wow, yeah, there you go.
Something that's fun.
Of course, you look at these cars today and you say, oh, my word, you can't. But, you know, I'm in the Corvette world. I'm a huge fan of the custom Corvette. In fact, if I ever am in a position to find one and buy one, I would want to buy that custom 70s, you know, it's right out of the 70s Corvette. That's my deal right there. I just love the era, love the vibe.
Well, I'm lucky enough to feel that at that time, you could customize a Corvette, and it was actually worth more than a stocker.
Yeah.
And the way I can prove it is I did one for myself. I took a 63 split window and I cut it up. I cut the roof off the car. I put the roof back differently than it was originally.
Oh.
I stretched the front end of the car and made it really radical. I ran the ISCA show. That's the International Show Car Association show. Mm-hmm. And won the whole Northeast Division.
Wow.
It was probably the most radical Corvette in the country at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Made the cover of four magazines. Marty's one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And to this day, it's in the Corvette Museum. Not the car, but one of the magazine covers of my car is on display in the Corvette Museum in Kentucky.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that until about 2 years ago when a friend of mine was down there and he says, your Corvette is on the cover in the show.
Wow.
That's high praise.
Yeah.
So that makes me feel good.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, it was a great canvas. The Corvette's a great canvas. It's just, you know, sexy lines to begin with. You know, they look great. You look at these cars and the time stands still. They still look as good now as they always did, maybe even better. And of course, the new ones are right along with them, you know. But then when you start to modify them, and, you know, being a modified guy like myself.
Oh, yes.
Wheel flares, side pipes, you know, you do the three lights in the back, the shark nose. I mean, sky's the limit.
You get to put your name on it. In other words, nobody's going to mistake your car in the parking lot for somebody else's. It's not like a couple of Camrys parked together or something.
There was even
like
a Corvette wagon. A lot of guys, I know a lot of our listeners remember the Corvette wagon conversion, and there was a Trans Am conversion as well.
Yes, yes. As a matter of fact, that was on one of the Instagram shots sites very recently there.
Well, I didn't do any of those, but I did a lot of cars for Joel.
Yeah.
All the parts that he would sell, well, he says, we got to build them. And then we got a little too far when we started doing Mako Sharks.
Yeah. Well, you know, that, of course, was the inception for the 68 Corvette. That was the whole... The Mako preceded that.
The 63 it preceded.
Right.
Actually, it was built in the late 50s.
Yes.
For General
Real
Motors.
Early, yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Joel decided, let's build some of those.
Right.
And he got involved with a guy named John Silva, who originally built that body style. And the two of them got together in a partnership that lasted 5 minutes. And Joel went his way, and John Silva went his way.
Okay.
And Joel was good at production. He between him and Marty, they had the advertising. So his name became more popular than John Silva's.
Right, right.
And then I painted a bunch of them, and then Joel let me do pretty much what I wanted. As long as I had that blend from dark on the top to the light on the bottom, he let me do what I want. So I slipped fish scales in there. Which we all know sharks don't have fish scales.
Right, right.
But it was just the theme of the car.
Yeah, yeah.
And nobody knows this, but I'll put it out there today. One of those cars, I put the fish scales on backwards.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, boy.
Yep.
Okay. Was that by mistake? Or was
it was a mistake. I didn't realize it until I saw it in a picture. I looked at it and I said, those are backwards. This is a long time afterwards.
Oh, wow.
And I still see the picture of it, you know, so I know that one of them is backwards. Now I figure everybody in the audience is going to start going through magazines and the books. And it's actually in Marty's book, one of them that is. It's
no kids.
Yep.
Okay. I'll have to look. So I have his other books at home. I'll have to check that out.
Another Where's Waldo moment.
Right. But Where's Waldo? Where is Motor Mouth Radio today? We are up at the Malibu Car Show in Whitestone. Sorry, Jim, but that's what we're going to call it.
Yeah, it's Whitestone.
We're right up here off the base of the Whitestone Bridge. The crowd has pretty much stayed the same. It's a small, hearty crowd, and it's, really hasn't...
As Billy pointed out, Billy Velvet, life is short. You can seize them when you can. And besides that, cars don't melt.
No. So, that's true.
And neither do people for the most
part. Years past, he's had the Goodyear ice cream truck right at the corner here. And we were always fighting to get our ice cream and eat it before it did melt because it was usually very hot. This show is usually very packed.
This place is like usually this mass humanity. Today it's much more sparse. But it is raining.
Right.
You know, some people probably looked out the window and said, nah.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
But, but we are here, 90.3 WHPC, Motor Mouth Radio.
Mm-hmm.
We're here at, out of the studio today. They got us out into the dampness to clear or clog our sinuses, however you want to call it. And we're talking with Gary, the local brush, of course, a guy who's synonymous with custom pinstriping and painting. all throughout Long Island.
Mm, yeah,
oh,
see?
Beautiful. Yeah, those, you know, those shark noses on those Corvettes, that stuff is... Show Sean. Show him the picture. This is, Sean, this is our world here. This is what we this is what we eat, sleep, live, and breathe.
That's some impressive
stuff we love.
The motor was almost as high as the roof of the
car.
Yeah,
yes. Absolutely.
That is one impressive.
Now, along with building, you know, for other people, you have a little impressive stable of cars on your own, or you have had through that the years. I know you still have a real nice one, right?
I have it here.
Yes. Yeah,
I drive a 1940 Ford. Right. It's mostly my everyday driver.
Mm-hmm.
I kid everybody, even though I take it to shows, I kid everybody and say, still has dirt under there from 1940.
Uh-huh.
It's an original chassis. It's got an I-beam in there. It's been lowered down as low as I can get it without airbags.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a guy named Fritz. That's Fritz
right.
Schenk.
Right.
Probably the most radical custom car builder in the country today, in my opinion. He's built a couple of bubble cars, and
wow.
he restores a lot of the original Ed Roth cars.
Wow, yeah.
And so he chopped my car.
Okay.
We lowered the car down about 3 inches,
mm-hmm.
and he came up with the idea of making the B-pillar round.
Mm-hmm.
He says, because most of them are, well, the factory made them straight up and down, and
mm-hmm.
he thought it would look better round. So I went along with it, and... It has a real nice look. The car looks like it's moving forward even when it's sitting still.
Again, it's the designer's eye. You know, the designers who kind of know. They have that. I have a daughter that has that vision. She says, no, it should be this way or that way. And we've learned to just, like, defer to her and say, okay, well, you know what you're doing. It looks like we have another phone call, and we do. We have our buddy Cliff on the line. So as soon as we get our telephonic communicator coronificated over here, we'll say, hi, Cliff, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, guys, how you doing? I got to give you guys a lot of credit for doing a remote broadcast. I know there's a ton of engineering involved in there. And
you got to see what we're doing just to hear your phone call.
Yeah.
I got a question for Gary. Gary, I'm a fan of Gary. He's done a few of my cars. He's even done a minivan of mine. and I just had a question. I know he's one of the prolific, famous guys that I know of in the area. And I know when I was a kid growing up in Queens, there was another guy, Vic Kessler, very known. Do amongst the pinstripe, and I've always been fascinated and think it's an amazing art. Did you guys ever have like an association? Do you meet the other pinstripers, or do you happen to be friends with the other pinstripers, or have any kind of associations? I was just always curious with that, and I just want to compliment on Gary on his amazing work. And
okay,
he also did a nice 911
truck. The other pinstripers like
truck that I saw and.
Vic Kessler, if you obviously, I guess if you guys had commiserated, if you knew each other, and if there was any association that you guys belonged to.
There's not any real association. I knew Vic as a competitor. He was a good guy. He very seldom came into Nassau County, and I very seldom went into Queens, but we would bounce off each other now and then.
Right.
Sorry to say, I went to his funeral. I met his family at the funeral. And when I met his son came up to me and said, so you're Gary the local brush. And I said to him, oh, I didn't like the way you said that.
Yeah.
He said, well, let me tell you what my father said. He said, you're not a pinstriper. You're an artist.
Ah.
And I turned around and I said, well, I looked up at this guy and I said, thanks, Vic. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Today, it's not like back in the day. Back in the day, nobody wanted to tell anybody how to paint.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wanted to tell anybody what brushes you were using. It was all secret.
Yes.
But today with Facebook, we all talk to each other. There's a lot of events that I go to now. There's the Syracuse Nationals upstate New York.
Mm-hmm.
There's about a good 75 pinstripers from all over the world that come there.
Yeah.
And we all pinstripe for charity. And, it's called Artie's Party.
I was just going to bring up Artie Schilling, because he's a good friend of ours. He does Artie's Party.
Right.
He kind of, I don't know if he pioneered it. He told us about it.
A few years ago, yeah.
He does it down, he's in Myrtle Beach, and what he likes to do is, he called them, I even call it a panel jam. He said he would take a 4x8 sheet of sheetrock, score it long ways and crack it, tent it, and they would have like maybe eight pinstripers come down, and everybody would start at a station, and you would just lay some lines down for like 5 minutes. Then everybody, it's like musical chairs. You'd switch to the next station. So by the time you got done, all eight pinstripers or ten pinstripers had added, and each work was a totally different conglomeration. I've seen this myself. It's phenomenal when you have talented people that can do that.
Each guy uses a different color, and then he signs his name with that color.
Right.
So you knew who did what on that pinstriping design.
Yeah.
But we all get together, and we do it for charity. It's 3 days worth of work, and you can do work ahead of time and just bring it.
Right.
You try to do at least three panels, right. And I usually do most of my work ahead of time, mm-hmm. and when I get there, I'll do finish it up because people like to see you working.
Yeah.
But to start there, I like to do a lot of airbrush work more than just pinstriping.
Okay.
And so it takes a lot longer to do airbrush work than it does pinstriping. So I do that ahead of time, and then
I know Artie's charity is Ronald McDonald House.
Right.
He raises a lot of money for that charity. He's done some great work.
He does charities all over the country.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. And he was just at Dead Man's Curve.
Right. Yes, he was. Yep.
I was there. Mm-hmm. And but it's fun because the pinstripers now, even on Facebook, can talk to each other. Uh-huh. They discuss problems that they have with each other. Newbies that are getting into the business ask guys like myself questions on how to do stuff.
Uh-huh.
And it's we just throw out the answers, you know. And brushes are much more available today from all different companies.
Right.
And so it's just easier to work.
I remember last time my wife and I had gone to the Syracuse Nationals a few times. We wanted to broadcast. And they always asked, hey, if you guys can broadcast, we'll give you a table. And we couldn't do it at the time. But now maybe going forward, we will be able to do that.
Yeah.
And you're in the hotel lobby, and you're going up and down with all these pinstripers. I think Kenji is one of the guys. It was a guy from Hawaii. There was a couple Italian guys. There was some Japanese guys from those respective countries.
Right.
And that's how Artie's draw is. You know, it's worldwide. And you get to see their work. And
got guys from Switzerland, Finland coming in.
Yeah.
Of course, most of the guys are from the United States.
Right.
But guys from California come in.
Right.
A lot of us from New York are there.
Sure. Do you have a favorite style, or do you classify yourself as any particular type of style that you like to do, or are you... Or do you not like to keep yourself in a box like that? I know a lot of guys.
I like a challenge when it comes to artwork.
Okay.
If somebody comes up with an idea of something that they want to get done, I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
I have to think about it ahead of time. Usually today I'll make a layout, not with pinstriping, but with artwork on a car. I'll do a layout ahead of time, and I'll superimpose it in Photoshop on their car so they can see what the job probably will look like when it's done.
It's like a tattoo. They make up the mask first, and they lay it on and see. And then you can size it and move it. Oh, that's great.
I like to call myself an automotive artist more than just a pinstriper.
Right.
Because I have to say I'm lucky that way. I've been very diversified is the word that I've used with a lot of young guys. If you're not diversified today, you're not going to make it as just a pinstriper.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. The guys who do, you know, the rockabilly stuff, they tend to really hone in on one area. And even on the tattoo shows, you see this. And you say, man, how are you going to make it being so locked in? I mean, you could be very, very good, but... You know, you think diversity would be the key.
Well, that's why I say I'm lucky, because I can hand letter a race car.
Right.
Or I can even do vinyl lettering if I have a vinyl cutting machine, mm-hmm. and I can do a layout with vinyl. That's just to stay current with everything else. I can do pinstriping. I can do airbrush work. I do gold leaf. So, and then I can do full paint jobs.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like I did the motion cars back in the day.
Yeah.
And even more recently, I just did an unusual stripe on a 2018 Dodge Charger.
Okay.
A guy had me do racing stripes on it from the very bottom of the car, up the grill, across the car, over the roof, down into the bottom.
Right.
But he said he wanted a honeycomb design in the stripe.
Oh, wow.
Because on the dashboard and the console, very subtly, is that design.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
And I just, off the top of my head, no problem. Then the more I thought about it, the more I realized how hard it really was going to be.
It's like doing geometric shapes or biomechanical stuff.
It has to line up.
Yeah.
I spent 2 days in the shop that I'm now working in. I'll throw a plug out there. I'm working in Sells Auto Body in Belmore now because I wanted to almost retire 2 years ago, and the public wouldn't let me.
Right.
Knock on wood. I got too many phone calls when they... when I put the word out that I was going to retire, and people started saying, I'm in the middle of projects that I plan on using you to do.
Right.
You can't retire yet.
Yeah.
So I figured, let me slow it down
a little bit.
That's
a nice feeling. That's good. Yeah.
It being wanted is nice.
What have you seen in the hobby and the, well, hobbyists do it, but you do it as a profession, obviously, changes that have been instrumental in what you do? And or maybe it's something that makes how you do it easier. Is there...
Equipment and paint has gotten better over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Airbrushes have gone from very crude airbrushes that I used for years to very high-tech stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I used to use for many years an airbrush that was called a Pache.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. The red one.
$75.
Yeah.
That was it. I'm using one now that's $800.
Mm-hmm.
It's an Iwata.
They make spray guns, HVLP spray guns.
Right,
yeah.
Right. And right now I've got about a half a dozen different airbrushes that I use for all different things, and most of them are all Iwatas. The paint today, the urethanes have gotten much better.
Yeah.
I went from Sickens paint that I was sponsored when I first opened up a school back in 1990.
That's
in
right.
The Motion Performance
yep.
building.
Yep. A couple of my friends went through that school.
They came in and they gave me all the paint, and I loved their material.
Yeah.
I'm going to say about 4 years ago, I was approached by Pep Boys. I got a phone call out of the clear blue by Pep Boys Marketing. They wanted me to go to all the Barrett Jackson shows and airbrush in their booth at the shows.
Wow.
And they said, you have to sign a contract. It's with Sherwin-Williams Paint, Barrett Jackson Auctions, and Pep Boys. And I asked, why? And they said, well, Sherwin-Williams makes a custom line of paint called Barrett Jackson Custom Paints.
Oh, wow.
And the only place you can buy it is in Pep Boys.
Okay.
And, of course, at all these shows, they wanted me to use their paint.
Yeah,
you can't use Sickens paint and promote Sherwin-Williams. So it was a learning curve for me after a while, and that's what I use now.
Right.
Because and it worked out in a funny way, because in one of their products, which is a pearl, it said that you have to break down the pearl first with acetone. So I said to the rep, so that means I can put acetone in the paint and it won't hurt anything. He says, yeah, it just evaporates out. It won't hurt anything.
Mm-hmm.
So in my mind, I started saying, if that's going to break down the paint like the pearls, why don't I mix it with the regular colors and break it down even more? And it works out real well, because the acetone breaks the paint down finer than their reducers, and it goes through the airbrushes much finer, and I can get a much better detailed picture.
That's excellent.
So,
you know, we have to say on 90.3 WHPC Motormouth Radio, we are sitting here talking with Gary the Local Brush about past and maybe even future trends. Gary, what do you see in the future for the business?
Well, a lot of stuff naturally is going with computers. Everybody's using computers to do artwork. And it's another tool. A lot of people think that it's ruining the business, and it's really not. I mean, freehand pinstriping is freehand pinstriping as far as that goes. But I use masks and things like that to do graphics on cars.
Mm-hmm.
I use it to do paintwork on cars, because it's just easier than masking something off with masking tape all along.
It makes a lot of sense. If you have the ability to have precision like that, you might as well make use of it.
Today, customers want to see what the job is going to look like ahead of time.
Of course.
Years ago, they trusted the artist. They would bring you something, you're the guy to go to, and they'd say, go ahead and do it. And 99% of the time, they were happy with the end result.
Sure.
Today, nobody trusts anybody, and they want to see what the job is going to look like ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
So,
And
they want their input. They want to help you do the job as it goes along. You know, they'll stop by the shop as you're working and say, oh, that looks good, or can you change this, or can you modify this?
Right.
And, if you're an easygoing guy, I am, I'll just go along with the customer and make the customer happy. He's paying the bill, so he's got to be happy when the job
leaves. Yeah, exactly. Beats the heck out of showing them a finished product and say, hey, you know, you could have done this little... Yeah.
Or they say, I really liked the job, but that's not what I wanted.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Big
so,
but. You know?
Today it makes a big difference.
Yeah, and it certainly is. I mean,
You know, technology, as long as it doesn't get out of hand, I think is a good tool. You know what I mean?
You know, Gary, cause all can kinds you of tell stuff. Us, going forward, how people can get in touch with you, how they can find you?
Yeah.
Any information you want to put out there, social media information, whatever, you know, contact number, whatever
well,
you like?
I have a website that's been out there for years. It's really an extensive website. It's localbrush.com.
Okay.
My phone number is on there, so you can get in touch with me real easy.
Okay.
If you want to write me direct, it's real easy. It's gary@localbrush.com. Mm-hmm. That's my email address. And I'm working at Sells Auto Body in North Belmore right now.
Right.
You can call me or you can call them.
Right.
And it's an interesting shop. They do total restorations, body off the chassis stuff. So I kind of fit in there
perfect.
Real well yeah. with that kind of
your kind of shop. Yeah.
Kind of a shop.
All right, Gary, thank you for sitting in with us. And stay where you put. Stay put where you are, because now we have the man of the hour. We have the head of the show here. We have
the
Mr.
Man.
Billy
Just
G.
The man, period.
Billy Velvet.
Name, yep.
Bill, hey, thanks Bill. For taking a few minutes out to be able to sit with us and tell us about this show. Give us a little bit of quick history and have at it.
Well, thanks for having me on. So we had this show. It wasn't the best of weather, but you know what? We had a great turnout. We had 51 cars.
Wow.
So no,
I didn't count, but wow.
So so nobody melted today.
Yeah, and, we were saying that.
So today was our 60th anniversary of the initial event, which was the original. They called it the Weenie Roast. And as it went forward, it started to diminish in size and duration. So I was asked to come on board in 99 to get things going. So I filed the permits that they couldn't get. And then in 2000, I rolled it into what would become the annual children's hot dog party and car show at the beach.
Right. Now, unlike other car shows, this wasn't one of those shows that's, you know, when you go to Eisenhower Park or you go out to Patchogue and everybody knows about it. This was always its own little enclave, its own little kind of personal deal. This was a neighborhood event.
I started it that there were a lot of nice cars in the neighborhood.
Oh yeah, Whitestone always did. Yeah.
And so I said, you know what? I said, let me get the guys together. And cars is the best common denominator. Mm-hmm. I mean, every car guys love car guys. So it started to grow, and then I made friends with the right people. Marty Shaw. Became a good friend now, mm-hmm. and I know you had Marty on earlier,
mm-hmm.
And then I started to go after different cars and got introduced based on the credibility of people that you know you can drop name,
right.
Name drop, and then
name dropping is
Marty.
Fun.
Then Marty was approached by Alana Scher from Hot Rod Magazine
right.
about
right.
coming east and doing some type of. How do guys in the East Coast, what do they do with their cars? And yeah. Marty, are you available to meet? And Marty said, no, you're not going to meet me. You're going to meet Bill Giaccio.
Yeah.
So Alana came east, and we spent a couple of days together, and I took her around. And I right. said, and she said, well, what's the deal on the East Coast? I said, we store our cars one garage at a time, one 10 by 20.
Yeah.
And we went around, and then Alana was like what we were doing. And in the 50th anniversary of Hot Rod Magazine, actually, she proclaimed the Malibu Car Show to be one of the top 10 spots you have to go see if you go east.
Absolutely, yeah.
So it was really nice. And the show then just took legs. And today I was very fortunate. You know, we got Gary DeBrush here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Gary, we know, did all of the motion cars back in the day, the bodywork, the paint right. schemes, and Marty with the PR. And, you know, we all hung out there. Posters in our bedrooms and
yeah.
you know
and our garages.
Garages.
Yeah.
So it's just for, and then Howard Kroplick, mm-hmm. that's a gentleman with the Alco 6, the Black Beast.
We heard him blast by just before.
I was chasing Howard down for 6 years to get the car.
Yeah.
And Howard was always a big football fan and an opening day Jet fan. So this year when the NFL schedule came out, I looked at the schedule and I saw that the Jets weren't playing. And I said, you know, and I called him, I told him, I emailed him. He said, you're good. He said,
yeah.
So he said, you know what, Bill? He said, the calendar's clear.
Yeah.
He said, so we got the Black Beast, the Alco 6 here today, which we presented it with the Commodore's Award.
Very nice.
Which is the trophy that I called when you were going out with the wife, the bride, you know, the girlfriend. And you would circle back around the block. She said, what are you doing? I said, you know, you see a car in the driveway?
Right.
She said, the car that grabs your attention. Well, of course, the Alco 6 grabs your attention.
But, I could not.
But, you know, this is my swan song here today, 20 years. But over the years, you're naming some of the Commodore cars we had. They had Glenn Spielberg in the Commotion Corvette was right here, mm-hmm, took a trophy. In fact, Glenn was invited today, but being a real car fanatic myself, I told Glenn, I said, Glenn, we can't have all the original markings on the car. Don't expose it to the weather. And Glenn felt bad, but he understood. So, Glenn, I know if you're out there, we appreciate all your efforts. Mm-hmm. So we had some tremendous cars here. Mike Manning, with everything that Mike did. We had the Batmobile here 1 year, Commodore Award winner.
Yeah.
We had
the Dragula
here another year, Commodore Award.
I worked on both of those.
And then we had some real eclectic cars over the years. I had Ricky Minetta's one of the 12
phase three.
That was another.
Yeah.
I mean, so.
And the ice cream truck. Don't forget the Good Humor truck.
The ice cream truck.
God bless my wife, Lorraine, who's looking down on us. She, Lorraine
absolutely.
Was. She, when I had the one of the 12, when I had Ricky's phase three here, she said, Bill, she said, at the end of the show, she said, I don't know if you. Everybody really gets a handle on what that was about. She said, I know you do, but she said, you know, I said, you know what, Rain? I said, you know, you could be right.
Yeah.
I said, next year, I'm going to have the universal appealing vehicle, and we had the Good Humor truck.
Ice cream truck, yes. Of course.
Yeah, and unfortunately, Lorraine succumbed to cancer during the year, and I came back as the champion, and in Lorraine's honor, I gave away 967 pieces of ice cream out of that truck.
Right.
That we dry iced it up, and my buddy Joe was the Good Humor man.
And the uniform stood right out there at the corner. Yeah,
but
was fantastic.
Number one, I want to thank you two gentlemen, and then Chris Switzer also. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've been a big part of this over the years. You gave me you give me exposure. You make me into somebody I'm not, which is. But you know, I'm a regular car guy. I'm a car guy like the rest of us.
Yeah.
And what are my plans for the future? You know, I don't know, but you know what? I'm entitled now to bring my beach chair and hang out with you guys and tailgate out of there.
That sounds good. Maybe next year he could be in the booth.
And I was going to say, you could hang out with Bill. Where else can you crack a bottle of Seagram 7 with a 1973 seal on it still?
Oh,
that was at the race party.
So we'll be after today. We'll kick back and.
What's the future of the show? Where's it going to go now? What's projecting forward?
The future of the show is that they say. They don't know if they can continue it. But you know what? This was always intended to be about the children. You got to remember, when I started this event, the kids were 7 years old.
Now they're married.
They're married. They're moving back to the neighborhood. So you know what? Somebody else's turn. Let's pass the baton.
Right.
You know? I mean, I don't want to be chairman emeritus or any of that. I mean, but if they ask me, Bill, what direction? I have a mailing list. I got the vendors, and we know the right people.
Yes,
right.
There you go. Your wisdom will always be.
But thank you for having me on,
and thank you for having us be a part of this.
We appreciate it
that we have done it. In fact, that's how when Marty was coming up, and he sent me an email because we'd had him on the radio show and said, hey, you know, you're going to Malba. And I'm like, to what? And that's when I had known Joe already and met Joe and said, hey, Joe, what's Malba? He goes, what, are you kidding me? I said, yeah, he's telling me to talk to some guy named Bill. And Joe says, boy, no, only one guy named Bill. He was an altar boy I was with. So anyway, we put the pieces together, and that's what formed the union. And it's been, thank all you guys for, again, things come together, Gary, from different ways sometimes, from different sides. Sometimes you don't see it happening, and it just materializes.
Well, somebody told me about this show last year, and I didn't know anything about it. And then last week, I get a phone call from two Corvette guys that want to get their car striped, and they got to get it done before this show.
Yesterday,
I striped two of the cars that are out here.
Oh, okay.
And so they said, you got to come down to the show. You got to come down. So here I am.
Are they like Koa guys that are out there?
Like what?
Like that's a Long Island Corvette Owners Association.
Actually, these
like
are local guys.
Okay.
Right from here. right from this neighborhood.
But you know what's funny with Gary? I asked Gary today. I said, so Gary, I said, I'm sure now you got a staff that picked up on your talent that's doing the way you did it. He said, Bill, I'm the guy.
It's like your staff, Bill.
I'm still the guy. Yeah, we're still the guys, Gary.
Just me. Yeah. Now, though, that I'm in this shop, I do get some help from the guys that are in there.
That's cool.
You know, if I want something sanded, they'll sand it for me.
Oh, nice.
Or if they know that I'm going to paint the motorcycle, I'll turn around and they prime the car, so they'll prime the motorcycle parts for me.
Great.
So they do that. The artwork I still have to do, but I do get a lot of help from the guys in
the
shop.
Well, that's good. This way you get to do what you do.
Right.
And they can fill the rest. That's fantastic.
Now I have a downdraft booth to work into.
Oh, baby.
Nice. All these years, I didn't have one.
Right.
I have a downdraft booth to work in.
Excellent.
So that's nice.
You know, there's one disclaimer I just have to get out there to the folks that couldn't make it today. Mm-hmm. You know, we had the show scheduled, and then we always have a rain date. We never had to exercise the rain date. This was one of those weeks where you couldn't predict the weather because it was so unpredictable.
Right.
But we were so committed with infrastructure and having guests and people coming in from out of town in special cars, you know, Marty and Howard, that we had to go forward.
Yeah.
And so we found out today that collector cars don't melt in
right.
the weather. And did we start a new trend? And maybe that, you know what, you could still go forward with some of these events?
Sure.
We don't know. But you know what, to the guys out there that couldn't make it, we went forward because the weather was good enough here, and like 52 cars is successful in anybody's eyes. And
yeah, that's no joke. Yeah.
And it might be another new, another trendy starter. We did a first live remote from here.
Appreciate that.
So that's you're making Motor Mouth Radio history for us as well, Bill, and we appreciate it.
It's drizzling, but it's not windy.
Right.
Thank God.
So that's easy.
Well, back in the day, you used to only have like a few, you know, it was never that big a show in the beginning.
No, in fact, the initial show in 2000 was 40 cars.
Oh, okay. So we kind of beat that today.
In
the rain.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, but it's good seeing a lot of friendly faces. I saw Dougie walking around.
Yeah.
And
there he is.
You know, and Dougie and I hit it off right from the beginning. It's that car guy common denominator, you know?
Right.
You know, so it's good seeing old friends.
Yes.
Thank you again.
Bill, thank you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much
for the day. For the event, like I said, without you doing the hard work and diligence, and the rest of your crew, because you do have a lot of guys that help out, all great fellas and women, you know, that help out. So we appreciate that very greatly. And maybe we're on to a thing here, Joe. I don't know. Maybe we're going to do a show from the UD next.
I think the cable will reach there, right?
I don't know. They may put wrenches in our hands or something and say, fix this.
Just not on a Saturday, that's all.
Yeah, right.
You know, we'd have to be during the week.
Busy day, excellent. That's excellent. So we are going to be, we're getting to the end of the rope here. We only have a few minutes. Doug, did you want to jump on and say hi?
Just came by to say hello to you guys.
All right.
Hey, Doug. How are you?
How you doing?
Great show, man.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you.
Thanks, Pete. No. Yeah. Thanks, Doug.
Yeah.
Bang. I love the sound effects from the back. We have it's better than music.
That's the beast.
That is the beast again?
Yeah.
Okay.
No kid.
Yeah.
Oh, very cool. Excellent.
Nice.
Excellent.
Excellent.
All right. We're gonna start packing
all the stuff. I'm gonna get in the other end and start rolling up the cord.
You're gonna have to because you got to go back to Garden City with it.
And
then Kim can continue on. So that's it. We only have a few minutes left. I hear our outro music. We are done. For Joe D, Ray Guarino,
Ian Jackie, what's your hurry?
Billy G, Gary the Local Brush. We got Dougie, Johnny. We got Sean. We got everybody here. We'll be back next week live from the
inside
studio on more Motor Mouth Radio. We got to listen to Kim, and we'll see you next week
on WHPC.
Thank you.
See you. You're welcome, Gary. Bye-bye.